Welcome to Face Your Faith with West Kenyon. It is our hope that today's study will encourage you to grow deeply in your relationship with God as we study the Word together. Now let's join West for today's study.
On today's podcast, we are going to look at the choices we make in life and the outcomes of those choices. And just about everything we do in life involves choices we get to make. We get to make choices about our jobs, how we spend our money, how we raise our kids, who we marry, who our friends are, and whether or not we are satisfied in life altogether. And all day long and all year long, we are making thousands of choices and decisions. While we inherently know what a choice is, let's take a look at the official definition from the Oxford Dictionary. And it says, choice is an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities, the choice between good and evil. Next definition, a range of possibilities from which one or more may be selected. I was really intrigued by the first definition example that was given, the choice between good and evil. How coincidental, as this is going to be the crux of what we are going to discuss today with regard to our choices in life. So we see that these definitions point out that there is a thing or things that are before us that were not before, and we need to make a decision, a choice, of whether or not we have it, don't have it, leave it, don't leave it, and whether it is good or whether it is bad. And everything we choose in life ultimately has a consequence. Nothing we do in life or experience in life is void of anything. Everything we encounter in life shapes us, and in particular, the things we choose to fully engage with. And there is no better place to start looking at decision-making than that of Adam and Eve. And all we need to say for this example is that they made a very poor choice by not listening to God when they ate the fruit. The consequence of their choice was severe and changed the course of their life and billions more and more to come. But having to make choices or decisions in life was not the result of sin. Making choices was something God put in us when He made us, and so it is we have free will, free choice. We see that choice is not bad. It is in fact very good. It is in fact a characteristic of God. God makes choices. He gave the angels the ability to make choices, and as we just stated, people got the same ability to make choices. Choices, however, as we know all too well, and without any explanation needed, can and all too often go very wrong. Again, Adam and Eve made a catastrophic choice. But in the beginning, up until they sinned, they were already making a choice. They had made a decision, a choice, to listen to and trust God that He knew what He was talking about and continued to abide by that decision, that choice, until they were given the additional option or choice. However, the choice they had was eat the fruit and die, or don't eat the fruit and live. And evidently, they had been making the right choice up until this time. That choice, Satan presenting them with something to consider along with what God had told them to consider. I am using the word consider here because God did not tell them they could not or would not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God simply said, should you choose to eat of this tree, you will die. He said, don't do this if you wish to live. Again, a choice. That is my direct warning for you. Very often we use the phrase, I can't do that, I won't do that. But there's an old adage, never say never, which was first recorded in Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers in 1837. We need to be very careful with our words and our thoughts, though. We are often right on the edge of changing our previous choices. As we read, Adam and Eve are a primary example of that. It was evident Adam and Eve were not interested in the tree at all until the devil came along with another option, which put them in the position of having an additional layer to consider. And the devil forced only one thing on them, and that was forcing them to make a choice. The devil did not force them to eat the fruit. He did not force them to change their minds or their previous choices, but he did force them to make a choice. And how do we know that? Because of several things Eve said to Satan in advance of eating it. And let's take a look at the passage again, Genesis 3:1-7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them were opened, and life would never be the same again. We see that Eve was doing battle over what decision to make, what choice to make. For the first time, she was really studying this tree and the fruit and all of the possibilities, yet had her doubts. The devil put her in a position to make another choice or stick with the choice she had already made. We also know from the encounter Eve had with the devil, had you or I asked Adam or Eve at this point, is it okay if we have some of the fruit from that tree over there? They would have immediately said, absolutely not. God told us you will die if you eat it. Don't do that. How do you know that for sure? Because that is the very line she gave to the devil. Eve seemed fully convinced that she knew the choice she made to stay away from eating the fruit was the right choice, no question. Again, up until this new choice was given. But when the pressure was applied, with having to consider the other option, regardless of whether it was right or wrong, that's when things got messy. Eve was standing there saying, what am I to do? Decisions, decisions, decisions. And this is a living example of everything we are still going through today, especially as believers. We are persuaded by good and persuaded by evil all day long. But God has told us everything, just like He did Adam and Eve, of what it was we are and are not to do. And just like Adam and Eve, we are able to choose whether or not we listen or whether we choose not to listen. This is, however, so hard. There are so many temptations out there, and it's so challenging to always follow what God says. And that because the world gives us endless options to choose from. And we are forced to reconcile godly choices versus ungodly choices every day, all day long. But none of this negates the fact that you and I are the ones that make the choice freely. And in so many circumstances without involving God in even the slightest way. And that is our biggest problem. So where did Adam and Eve go wrong when the devil presented another option? They did not call out to God for help. Adam and Eve had full access to God and never once stopped and said to the devil, okay, I'll get back with you on this. Before I make any decisions that could kill me, I need to check with God first. And we know how that would have gone. That would have been the right choice. God would have reminded them of what would happen, and likely, just my two cents here, the devil would have either continued a few more times to convince Eve she didn't need to go to God to get involved, or would have just taken off. And if Eve had called for God to step into the conversation right then and there, Satan would have taken off. And to this very day, it is a promise from God that if we choose to involve Him in any situation where we are being tempted, forced to make decisions, He will intervene and guide us. And if need be, He will send the devil on his way and far away from us. Let's take a look at James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, this passage is often confused with the idea that if we say the name of Jesus out loud, that the devil will flee. And that idea, however, is not in God's word. This, however, is the only statement that indicates the power we have over evil should we choose to exercise it. This passage only indicates that we are to take action and just as God tells us to. Again, another choice we get to make when tempted. I think it's important here to once again go to the dictionary and look at the word submit from our passage. Submit yourselves to God, which is common enough again, but looking at it in the dictionary is always helpful. And Oxford says, accept or yield to a superior force, or to the authority or will of another. The synonyms are also very good for the word submit. It is bow, relent, defer, agree, and consent. So now let's read our passage again with some of these words from the dictionary. And it reads, accept, bow, agree, consent yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, this is not about saying the name of Jesus, but taking action. We will not get into this now, but the demonic forces, the devil and his followers, are not afraid of Jesus or God just because they hear his name. After all, the devil went to God to ask him permission to mess with Job. And the devil went to Jesus and not only talked to him, but asked Jesus to follow him around while he was tempting him. So a good choice is to submit ourselves to God. Then we read in our next sentence that it is strongly recommended to resist the devil. And let's look at the definition for resist, again from Oxford. Resist means to withstand the action or effect of, to prevent by action. Another wonderful look at these words that we don't often consider when we spout them out in our conversation. Notice the second definition says to prevent by action. Exactly. Resist. Take action against the devil. Nowhere does it say to just say the name Jesus or God, and then you're done. And this action we are advised to take is a choice, and we will either choose to take action or we will choose to be passive. And being passive will get us into big trouble, once again, as Adam and Eve can testify. We see the promise here that when we take action, then and only then will the devil flee from us. And we are told by God to take one specific action. The devil will flee from us because when we submit to God, we are, as our definition clearly points out, we are focused solely on Him, God. That is the action we are to take and the only action we are to take, submitting to God. This means we are not doubting. We are not concerned about anything outside of being fully surrendered to God, bowing to Him. And when we are in that position in our hearts and minds, the devil cannot disrupt our lives. Look at it this way. As a little kid, you likely got hurt, beat up, or teased by other kids. And during said altercation, you proclaimed the name teacher. Most certainly, the kids who were being aggressive with you would not leave you alone just because you spoke the name teacher. They would keep doing what they were doing. However, if you go to the teacher and bring the teacher with you to the children who were bothering you, they would flee. Those kids would flee if they even got a glimpse of the teacher headed their way. Sitting there and just saying teacher is very likely irrelevant, because that is really not taking any kind of meaningful action. But getting up and going to the authority, submitting to that authority, and asking for help, that is taking action. And that most often takes care of our problems. And that is the same way it is with us and God. It is not about saying a name. It is about taking action and the action that is prescribed for us in God's Word. But why do we get tempted all day long and get into predicaments all day long, even knowing what we are going to do is wrong? Because we do not take action. And we don't take action because we choose not to. And we choose not to because we think we can outwit the devil. Know this, however, you cannot outwit the devil. And believing you could is a very poor choice that comes with a devastating consequence every time. We will either choose good or we will choose evil. We will either choose right or we will choose wrong. We will either choose to listen to God or we will choose to listen to the devil. It is all our choice. To help expand on this theme, I want to look briefly at the life of Joseph and the choices he made with regard to all the crazy things that happened. Joseph is one great example of someone who was forced to make one hard choice after another. Brief background, Joseph was sold into slavery but made the choice to do his very best and ended up being put in charge of all the servants of the house. During that time, however, Joseph was accused unjustly of sexually assaulting his master's wife and was put into prison. While Joseph was in prison, he made another choice, and that was to do the very best he could and ended up being put in charge of the prison even while he himself was still a prisoner. Subsequently, Joseph was released from prison when asked to interpret Pharaoh's dreams and was put as second in command to Pharaoh and that of leading a nation. But what does this have to do with choices? First off, and as I mentioned earlier, this is just one of many examples of people who honored God in their choices. Not one time did Joseph plan to get out of his situation on his own. He didn't rebel when he was put to work as a slave. He made the choice to work very hard. He wasn't trying to constantly escape from prison because it wasn't fair and his rights were being violated and he was being treated unjustly. He made the choice to trust God and make the best of every situation for God. And that choice got him promoted to manage the whole house of servants. Yeah, but he was accused of mistreating Potiphar's wife and then put in prison. That's not fair. He should have just done his best to escape, and he could have spared himself a lot of humiliation and needless struggle. No one should put up with that kind of treatment. When you're not wrong, it is not fair. And he absolutely could have made that choice, but it would have been a detrimental choice. We see when Joseph landed in prison, he made the choice to be a model prisoner. And once again was promoted to head the whole prison. And as I mentioned, while he was still a prisoner, Joseph made the choice again to honor God in all his actions, and once again it paid off. And in these two instances, and because of the choices Joseph made, It allowed him to be in a position to be available to Pharaoh to interpret his dreams, so that he one day would be governor of all of Egypt. You see, Joseph wasn't off attempting to get out and cause problems. Had that been the case, the prison guards would likely have said, "You want this troublemaker out of prison to help you and interpret dreams?" And likely Pharaoh would not have done that had Joseph been a troublemaker. But very likely he came with great recommendations as an honorable person, and we know that would be the case because he was running the prison. Subsequently, Joseph was taken out of prison by Pharaoh. Joseph did what Pharaoh asked, and that was to interpret his dreams, and upon doing so, Joseph was made governor of all of Egypt, and he ran a nation. Obviously, God was with Joseph every step of the way. But God was with Joseph because Joseph chose to make God-honoring decisions, and that was to submit to God and resist the devil. And while at the time it could have easily appeared to not be worth his hassle to continue to do his best in the worst circumstances, each time it advanced him to the next level of leadership. Joseph was only advanced because he wasn't making self-serving decisions or choices. He persevered right where he was and made the choice to be patient and allow God to determine his path. And it took all of these circumstances to prepare him as the leader of Egypt. Joseph went from being sold like some item on an auction block to governor of a nation. Now let's look at the whole of all of this and the major contrast between our two examples. Adam and Eve had it perfect. They were on the top rung of life. It could not get any better. But with one self-centered decision, a decision that indicated they were not satisfied in their current position, not satisfied with where God had them, sent them crashing all the way to the bottom. Joseph, on the other hand, started off at the very bottom, and through the choices he made, being satisfied with where he was, God advanced him to the very top. In both cases, their lives were shaped based on their choices. It should be very evident by now that this is still how things work today. Nothing has changed just because we are in the 21st century. Our choices will always be our choices. We will always either rely on God or rely on ourselves. We will either make the choice to be patient and make the best of where we are and to do our best for God, even in adverse situations, or we will be impatient and do it our way and leave God out of it. And if we leave God out and do it our way, that decision, that choice, will lead to destruction and devastation and misery. Adam and Eve are proof, and so is everyone else since then and right up to today. But if we put God first, we will thrive. Maybe not how we would like it or how we think it should take place, but we will be rewarded and advanced at the right time and to the right place. Let's look at Matthew 20:16. So the last shall be first, and the first will be last. It's okay not to be where you want to be, so long as you are where God wants you to be. And how do you know where God wants you to be? First, if you are not anxious about getting out of your current position. If you are anxious, you are already shoving God out of the picture and not submitting to Him. For that, let's look at Philippians 4:6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Matthew 6:34 continues, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you are anxious, you are living on your terms and making your own decisions, your own choices in whatever it is you are anxious about. We have exactly what we need to do in any position we are ever in life, from the simplest of events to the most complex situations. And by going to God in all situations, God will raise you up in His ways and ways you never dreamed possible and from situations that seem unbearable. Proof, if everyone else in the Bible is not enough already, 1 Peter 5:6 through 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Isn't that exactly what happened with Joseph? And it will happen to us if we choose that direction. All our choice. We will either be exalted by our choices or degraded by our choices. So to wrap up, what choices are you making? Are you roaming around eating all the low-hanging fruit because it looks good and pleasing and is advertised to keep you where you want to be or get more? Or are you making the choice to be satisfied in the Lord your God? And what situation is just too gruesome to be in that we just have to make our own decisions without God? Not one. How about Romans 8:28 for that? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We know that in all things God works for our good. It is by choosing to live through adversity that we will grow. The choice is all yours.